We are up to Perek Ches, Pasuk Vav. Perek Ches, Pasuk Vav. I'll run back one past the Pasuk K for one moment. Eov here, Bildad HaShuchi is giving Musar to Eov. He's telling Eov not to complain, to recognize that his suffering is for a purpose. He focused first on his children. His children sin because they are deserving. They deserve to die. They would party every single day, which he felt was not appropriate. And therefore Hashem punished them by bringing about their death. And the proof is that they died in the place where they rejoiced. Shama, and he actually quoted a pasuk, the Mitzudos, that the Mishpat is in the place of Resha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is he brings about the punishment in a way where a person, if he'll only apply himself, will be able to figure out why he is being punished. If they were killed and there's in this bias, it must be that the bias was the location, was the source of where they did an Avera. He goes off on a tangent here and he says something which... You hear stories like this every so often that a place, things, averos or mitzvos that take place in a certain location have an effect on people for years to come. These are spooky stories. And in halacha, it's true. There's a question: if you're allowed to daven in a house. I was just listening to a very interesting shiur from Rabbi Leibowitz. He's the Rav in West Hempstead, if I'm not mistaken. He has a very interesting shiur about the inyan of having a minyan in your house Friday night. Many people, they have minyanim, private minyanim Friday night, Mitzvah Shabbos, especially in apartment buildings, and they don't, instead of going to shul, is that really appropriate? So the average person will think of, why not? What's the big deal? You can have minyan whatever you want. And he goes through all the sources, and he goes to show that it's not so simple. You have to dive in a place that's miyuchit for tefillah. And then part of his shiur, he just throws out, he just happens to mention this concept, which Rav Schwab really develops based upon this pasuk, which really seems to come from over here. This idea comes from this pasuk Dalet, that the place where you do a mitzvah, do an avera, has a roishim on the environment and on the people who live and do things in that place. If you have in a person's house, I believe what he mentioned, this person's house, a person. He goes online, he maybe watches a little television, listens to the radio, and does all these different things. So it has, he says it has an effect on the makom. And if you're now going to put a cover on top of the computer, and you're going to try to daven, okay, you'll daven, you'll have kavana, but you're not going to have that siyata d'shmaya
that you would have
in a shul, everyone is talking lashon hara,
right?
And plotting and planning to kill. So right. In such a shul where people are plotting and planning to kill each other, might be worse. You're right. But let's talk about something theoretically. A place where that's miyuchid for tefillah has a certain kedusha which is not tangible, but somehow there is this concept that there is a siyata d'shmaya and allows a person to be successful in having success in his yearning to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the opposite, a place where averos are done has an effect on the makom. Okay, I'm not going to go there. All these different spooky stories. What? That's one inyan. He goes through all the different
ideas.
That's one inyan. One inyan is Barovam Hadras Melech. Okay, let's put that. That's one issue. The other issue is a halachic issue. The makom must be miyuchud for tefillah. Beis Hakneses Mikra Hadin, the place where David should be a makom. It's not ideal to make. That's another issue. That's a separate issue. First of all, some people hold that you don't need a sefer Torah to say tachlin. Even having sfarim is enough to say tachlin. That's a separate issue. But with Friday night, you're not saying tachlin anyway. And Mitzvah Shabbos, not saying tachlin anyway. But there's a halachic inyan that the place should be a mokum that's 100% miyuchid for tefillah. And then there is this Kabbalistic inyan that a place that is miyuchid for tefillah and Torah, there is something to it. It makes a spiritual impression upon a person. him to succeed in having kavana and accomplishing what he should through davening. And to some degree, you see that here in this pasuk. This pasuk, going back to pasuk.
A lot of people don't know that. Moshe used to daven Friday night.
Okay, so you have no choice. But still, the location. Okay. Enochanami. He goes through the issues. He has a very fascinating discussions online about Leibowitz. I think it's part of a series. He has 10-minute halacha series. 10-minute halacha. So I think he gives it in where he teaches it in one of the schools in the five towns. So he has always very interesting topics. These 10-minute halacha, usually more than 10 minutes. Sometimes it becomes 20 minutes. But this is a very interesting topic, which is a very innocent idea. What's the big deal? Have a minyan Friday night in your house. A power building, have a minyan in someone's house. And alpi halacha, it's not so simple. And alpi kabbalah, it's not so simple. And the kabbalistic inyan, you can go take out many books and storybooks, and you'll find many sorts of gedolei yisrael. Something wasn't right, and they made an inspection. They discovered that years ago a terrible aver was done in this ma'abayis, and because there was an aver was done, it has a roshim on the people on the place. We don't know what these things are, but this pasuk does touch upon this theme. The pasuk here is not to be taken lightly. Pasuk dalid im banecha chatulo. If your children have sinned to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, vayishalchem, Hashem sent them away biyad pisham, through their own sins. And as the Mitzvah says, in the place where they sinned, that's where they died. That's where they were punished. It was a midah keneged midah. The mokim itself brought upon them their own mishpat. Now, pasuk hey, we've learned this yesterday, is where Bildad Hashuch, he changes themes, and he says to Eov, it's not all hope is not lost. You can be mispalo to Hashem, if you really are a tzaddik, do tshuva, pray to Hashem, and Hashem can do the supernatural. He can restore your health, and restore your wealth, and your fortune, and things will turn around. Imata tishacher elkel, if you will turn, you will seek Hashem, v'el shakai tishanon, and you will pray to Shakai. He's using here the two different names for Hashem, Shakai and Kel. Pasuk Vav, im zach v'yoshar oto, if indeed you are truly sincere, you are pure and upright, then guess what? All hope is not lost. Ki at ata, now your ear olecha, Hashem will arouse. Your ear means to arouse, to awaken His compassion upon you. Vishilam nevas tzidkecha, and will restore. Here, Vishila means to pay, but in this context, it means to restore. Nevas means your abode, your dwelling place. Tzidkecha of righteousness. Your righteous home will be restored to the way it was before. Let's look at Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos David in Zach Ratzalam. It's a continuation of Pasuk Hei. In Tase Bizakus V'yashrus Halev. If you will seek Hashem with purity and uprightness, Loi Birmiya, not with deceit, Hine Lo Yukubach Sukharcha. Even in this world, your reward will not be cut off. Ki me'ato yo'ire rachamov, Hashem will arouse His compassion. V'yaseh nevas tzidkecha shalem, and He will restore your righteous abode to its complete state. Shalem v'tamim l'male kol machzorecha, to restore everything that's lacking. Ki gemul hu mishalem, Hashem will reward you for your good deeds in this world. He's coming to challenge Eov what he said in the previous parak, that there's no hope left. When this illness finishes making its course, I will die. My flesh has decayed. I'm weak. It's beyond the hope. It's beyond the point of return. So it's shocking. He says to him, it's not. I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to understand this. Until you go, Rachman, let's say, go into a hospital. There are certain people that patients are terminally ill. I'll be derech hateva. They're not getting better. It's a one-way street. They're not coming back. There's no such thing. There are no miracles that the people come back from terminal illness when they're at a certain point in time. L'chayre, Eiv was at that state. That was at that state. I mean, that's seeming what he said. We have to believe what he said in the previous parak, that he was terminally ill. And the only reason why he was alive was because the Malach, because the Satan was keeping him alive, was a Gezeirah HaKadosh Baruch Hu that should stay alive and suffer. And here it's shocking. Here he says, no, it's not. All hope is not lost, and you can, your health can be restored, and your wealth can be restored. And indeed it was. We do know the end of the Sefer that it was, and but that's not something that we can really use on a practical level, because the world that we live in today, we don't see miracles where people, at a certain point in time, they come back. It's just not the way. There may be one in a million where you'll hear some supernatural story, but al derech hateva, there's a certain point in time, and that's how it is. But this is what he says to him. Then now he goes on to say, pasuk zayin v'hoya reishischa mitzar. He says, now we learn the first pshat, according to both Rashi and the Metzudot, say the simple pshat, which is not the way we're familiar with understanding this pasuk. This pasuk is a very popular pasuk among the Darshanim. It's quoted in numerous Mevarei Chazal, and the way we are inclined to translate it is not the simple translation that is given to us, but that the Metzudot and Rashi provides for us. And he continues his thought, V'haya reishischa mitzar, the reward that you will receive, your good fortune and the blessing that Hashem will bestow upon you after you recover will make you look back and realize that your good fortune and your wealth and your blessing that you had originally before your illness was small. Mitzar, reshischa. What you had originally before you were ill, mitzar, will be small relative to v'yacharischa, what you will receive after you recover, yiske me'od, will be very great. Let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Zayin. Reishischa mitzar, hatoiva, she hoya l'cha bereishis yomecha, the good that you were blessed with in the beginning of your life, before you became ill, techoshev lima'at, will be considered small, relative to what you're going to get in the future, ki hatoiva sheyihya l'cha bi'achris yomim, that will come to you at the end of days. Now, it doesn't mean over here after Tchiyas HaMeisim. He means over here when you recover from your illness. Yigdal me'od, will become very great, at shel olam, that techoshev lema'at hatoiva shahoy l'cha me'oz, that it will be considered the good that you had before to be very small. Rashi Kamat says the same thing. Let's look at Rashi Pasuk, first Pasuk Vav. The Shilei Hashem will restore Nivas Tzidkecha, your abode, your righteous abode. The Yase Es Nivas Tzidkecha, Hashem will make your home, your righteous home, being that you claim you are a tzaddik. Hashem will not deny reward to a tzaddik. So the tzedek, the righteousness of your home, will be restored. Sholem v'tamim. V'hoya reishischa mitzar, reishischa she'avra, mitzar l'fi acharischa she'yiske ma'od. The blessing that you have received in the past will be small relative to the blessing that you'll receive in the future. Now, before we go further, there is a very popular medrash. Let me read you the medrash. It's a very long medrash. Agodas Bereishis. You know that, Rav Michal?
I know other.
Okay, Perek Samach Aleph. Okay, so I'll just skim through. The medrash basically goes through Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Yosef, and describes Reishischa Mitzar, meaning that tzaddikim start out small. They start out with they suffer. Okay, we translated the word mitzar to mean small. Look in the Mitzudos Tzion, mitzar, me'at. The reishischa, the blessing that you enjoyed before you became ill, was me'at, will be considered small relative to the enormous blessing you will receive when you recover. So the translation of
sore means narrow.
Okay, narrow, and in this context means narrow. It's tsarlim. It's that's with pain, but
maybe
narrow location, small ma'at.
Gesher,
very narrow bridge. Gesher. Kol ha'olam, what is that? Where does that come from? You just said Gesher Tzar Ma'od. Kolam Kula Gesher Tzar Ma'od. That's Rav Nachum Breslov. Maharan, Likutei Maharan. That's his words.
But I think it's from Tehillim, no?
Yeah. Kol ha'olam Kula Gesher Tzar Ma'od. That famous song.
Yeah,
So that's a famous song. Those words have been used to. It's a classic. Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tsar meod, and the v'ha'ikar shloy lefached od. Right? Is that those words? V'ha'ikar. Okay. I remember that. Gears of the Ankusa. Okay. So those words, where do they always? Where do those words come from? You remember Rav Nachman Mibreslov. Those are his words. He coined those words. It's not a Chazal. That's the copyright. It's not a Zohar. It's not a Pasuk. It's not a Gemara. It's Rav Nachman Mibreslov. It comes from the Likutei. His words called Likutei Maharan. Mareinu Harav Nachman. Nach. Likutei Maharan. Okay. Now we translate the word mitzar to mean small, but according to the Medrash, mitzar means painful, tsar. And the derech ha'olam is like Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's the expression from Purdue? It takes tough.
It's a tough man to. Make a tender chicken.
Right, it takes a tough man to make a. Right.
Exactly. They stole it from you. That's what Bishtay means.
Takes a tough man to make a tender. Okay, so that's. This is. Those are very profound words. Okay, but it's not exactly what it's saying here, but it means that a person, great people, great people start off with very little. It's very rare to find people that are extremely successful and inherit their wealth. Great people, they build up, they start with nothing and they build up their success, their wealth, and their legacy from grassroots, right from the start. And that's what it says. All great people follow this pattern. They start off in a state of pain, of suffering, persecution. Of a lowliness, and they work and they don't give up, they persevere, the achrischa, and ultimately through their toil, yiskem, oh, they become very, very great. Now let's give you some examples. Ashrei, I'm reading you from the Agoda. Agoda's precious. Ashrei mi shemekabel yisurim min uraf. Okay, it's a shocking statement. Fortunate is a person who suffers in their youth. Shocking to say such a thing. Okay, that's not the way we live in America. We don't want anyone to suffer in their youth in America. Lama biglal shesoifay noch, because the end will be he will rest. He will rest and he will have blessing. V'chein chaverav shel iyov amru lo. Why are you complaining? Don't now worry. You will prevail at the end. They quoted this pasuk. They composed. Build it hashuchi. You're suffering, so you should consider the suffering that you're undergoing now as your reshischa. This is just an introduction, a hakdama, to the great things that are coming for you in the future. Okay, so the coin to the Medrash that the suffering that you have now is going to save you from Gehenim, and you're going to rest in Gan Eden. Shenemar v'af hasischa mipitzar. Another pasuk, which is not our context here, v'atzilcha mipitzar migehenim. Okay, let's just jump ahead over here. V'chein atamotze l'chol hatzadikim shnitztaru b'narusan. All the tzaddikim go through this cycle. The Seifa Nachu Avraham. Now here are the examples of the Medrash. Kama nitzta'er min aruso. Number one, hushlach l'kiv shanu esh. Okay, that was the first event. He was thrown into the furnace by Nimrod. Number two, the v'gola mibeisav. Hashem told him to leave your father. Lech lecha. Next, ubola milchama shish asa malachim. He fought against 16 kings. Okay, he has an interesting calculation. How do you get 16 kings?
I know that, but they're in the
four against
version,
five, nine
the
kings. What?
Version, yeah. They knocked out that and put in nine instead.
Nine kings. Okay, because four and five. The four and the five kings. Okay, so.
Arayan Avshalom, right?
Okay, you have to make the but that doesn't add up to 16. That doesn't add up to that's two more. That's 11. How do you get to 16? I don't know. Shisha asa malachim, whatever that means. Next, v'nilkecha ishtoi himenu, his wife was abducted. both by Paro Avimelech. Nisnasa b'bino Yechidoi, Hashem told him to slaughter Yitzchak. So these are, he's selecting, the Medrash is selecting from the 10 Nisyonos, he's not selecting all 10, he's selecting a few of them. U'v'soifai noch v'yosha b'shalva shenemar, v'Avraham zokein bo b'ayimim v'Hashem berech es Avraham b'akol. Okay. V'chein Yitzchak, next example, Yitzchak, nitzstar min arusa, notal yishmol chetz u'bikesh lohargo. Interesting how all the defining all of the tsaros of the avos. What was that Yishmael wanted to kill him. That was the tsar. Yishmael shot an arrow and nearly killed Yitzchak. Shnem v'ateri esor ek ben Yitzchak ben Hagar v'mitzachek. Vein mitzachek ela shnevel chetz u'bikish lohargo. V'chein Shlomo also said the same thing. Okay, let's jump ahead. Haloi misachani v'loi oidel she'ela she'nitoloi av l'shachtoi. He was almost slaughtered. His father told him, I'm going to offer you as a human sacrifice. V'achakach bor rohof. What else did Yitzchak suffer? There was a famine. Shenem avi rabaretz. Holach le'etzel avi melech v'his chilum v'kach. And what else? He had a fight with Avimelech. They took away his pits, his boros. Shenemar vayikano osa polishtim lech meimanu. Well, it was soif noch, but ultimately Yitzchak prevailed. Shenemar vayikra shema ruchayvois. Where do we find the makar that he succeeded? Vayikra shema ruchayvois. He finally found the land that he called ruchayvois. Kihirchiv Hashem lanu. In this location, Hashem has made room for us. We can live peacefully. Okay, next, Yaakov. Yaakov suffered. What do we learn about Yaakov? Sherudufo Esav. Esav tried to kill him. V'nishtabed b'noshav. And he had big problems with his father-in-law, with Lavan. With Lavan, four wives. Rudolfo Lavan. Ravan pursued, chased after him. The Nenash Bibitoi, Dina. He had the Tsar of Dina when Dina was abducted by Shechem. Nimkar Beno, Yosef, the Tsar of Yosef. It was Sof Yoshav Bimenucha. Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov lived in Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. Those were the good 17 years of his life, period. Yosef had Tsaris. Sina Ehu Echov Nisanu Babar. He was thrown into the pit. Machro, so they sold him. Nechbash Mbeis Sasum. He was thrown to Eshes Babatifar. Remak Sibi Inu Vachevel Ragle Barzel Bob Benav Shot different Sukkim and Tehillim, which indicate all the different forms of suffering. And the end was ultimately what happens. Maksiv Nema Maharu V'alu El Avi K'shemolach Al Mitzrayim. He became the Mishneh Lemel. So this is a pattern that tzaddikim, they start out in a state of tsar, mitzar, v'yacharischa yiskem od, and then ultimately the tsar is for refinement purposes. Ultimately it makes them into a greater person. Okay, that's a second shot. Now there's a third mahalach. The third mahalach is this. I think the Malbim learns with this approach, and other mafarshim as well, is Bildad Hashuchi is telling Eov the reason why you lost all of your wealth is because you easy come, easy go. Because your success was supernatural. Anything that a person receives, Lamal Lamiderech HaTeva, without earning it, it's very delicate. It's very easy to lose. A person's Hatzlacha only lasts when it comes little by little. Okay, remember the pasuk where it says by Yitzchak, by Yigdal Ho'ish Me'od Me'od. It says this idea by Yitzchak. Yitzchak, he became great Me'od Me'od. Why does it say? What? Bavud Rabbah. Why is there repetition? Why does it say Me'od Me'od? So there's a Chazal. Chazal say that Yitzchak did not become great overnight. Yitzchak's success came slowly, little at a time. When a person enters into a business and he's and things go little by little, he's able to absorb his success, take precautions, deal with it in a proper way to maintain, to secure his success. But if a person just suddenly one day wakes up and they tell him, guess what, you won the lottery, you won the power, what's it called, the Powerball, and you won $100 million. Your person is overwhelmed. What do I do with $100 million? And it's very easy to be misled and to lose the wealth, to lose the success, because it came upon the person too quickly, and you don't know how to deal with the wealth, with the success, with the fame, and everything that comes along with it. It's much more, it's a healthy experience for a person to gain success gradually, slowly, and then you know how to deal with it. You could holech v'godel. You have to go gradually. Holech v'godel. Yitzhak also meod meod is very much, but it says it twice, which indicates little by little. It says the same thing about Eretz Shol. The Meraglim said about the land. The Meraglim, Yeshua Kalev said about the land. Toiv haaretz meod meod. Eretz Yisrael is a land that gets better and better. Don't expect an Eretz Yisrael sudden miracles, a windfall. You'll come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll dig and you'll find oil, and now we'll be billionaires. That's not healthy. That's not a healthy experience. It's a better experience for a person to succeed gradually. And that here is what Bildad HaShuchi is telling Eov. Eov, the reason why you lost all your money is because Hashem really wants you to be successful. Hashem wants you to succeed. You're a very great tzaddik. Problem is, the success that you have achieved thus far was too much and too fast. Your success was l'malo miderech hateva, and you did not have the time to absorb this your success. And that's why Hashem says it's not going to last. In the long run, you're going to invest in things which are not successful, and you're going to lose everything. So Hashem is doing you a favor. Hashem took away everything from you, took away your health, your children, and your success, and now He wants to start with you all over. And the new beginning will come naturally, little by little. Your Reishischa, this interpretation is not referring, like Rashi and the Mitzuda says, to the Reishis in the past. It means the new beginning. You're now going to start fresh. You're sick, you're ill. It's as if you're dead. When you will recover from your illness, it will be as if there's Tchiyas HaMeisim. And you're going to start all over. And you should know, when you start all over, don't expect the Kadosh Baruch Hu to send a lottery ticket to win $1 billion. You're going to start from the grassroots. But you will succeed. Your Reishischa will be Mitzar, will be a small amount. Ma'at, according to this interpretation, we're also following in the lead of the Mitzudos that Mitzar means Ma'at, but we're now following the Mitzudos and meaning Mitzar means your original beginning. We're meaning the new beginning that's about to come. It's going to be Mitzar. V'yacharischa yiske me'od, and this will be to your ultimate benefit because you'll go through the process. You're not going to skip steps, and when you don't skip steps and you go through the process, that success will endure, will last forever. And that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants it to last forever. He realizes the success you had until now cannot possibly last forever because it was inherited wealth. It was success that was the malam derech hateva. That's not going to work. It has to be yiskemo. You see this in this world. You look around, there are people, there are some very successful people. There's some yuppies that become extremely successful. They go into some business and somehow they make a killing. And these people, what do? They make a simcha. They make these lavish weddings that the world has never seen before. So tell me, these people are the first wealthy people in the world. They're the first people that are so successful, and they have to go, they show off, they flaunt. There are people that are just as wealthy as them, even more successful. And when they make a simcha, when they do things, they do it very quietly. And they give just as much staka, still a hate. What's the difference? The difference is that the people that are the real people, they didn't collect their money, earn their money overnight. They just got lucky, they went into a certain business, they were in the right place at the right time, and wow, they have now at their disposal billions of dollars. The people who you see, they don't know what they're doing, they're just wild. The way they spend, like drunken sailors. These are people who you see, they have not earned their wealth. The wealth just came to them out of sheer luck. The people who start out very small, and over time, very gradually, they build up. Okay, there are stingy people out there also, but there are some very phenomenally wealthy people who give an enormous amount of tzedakah, and they're very careful in how they spend their money. They're very restricted, they're very humble, because they went through the process of Mitzar v'achariske yiske mo. That is a healthy process, and that is a tremendous bracha, and that is what Eliphaz is, Bildad HaShuchi is telling Eov. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you. and what you have until now is not a healthy thing, and that's why Hashem is starting fresh with you. This is an approach that Rav Schwab talks about, I think the Malm talks about, a different approach than what Rashi and the Mitzvah says. Okay, Pasik Ches, Ki Sha'al, and now he begins another concept, another very deep idea. Basically, it's going to tell Eov that Eov, you're a big philosopher. You're sitting here, you're in a lot of pain, and you're telling everyone the way the world works. There's no Hashgacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, he disappeared, and everything depends on Mazel. Eov, you're a young man. You have no life experience. There are people who have come before you, people who have come before those people. How can you judge HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can you make an assessment on how the world works when you have no life experience? Even though he was 70 years old, but 70 years in this world relative to the time of creation until where he was is just a short period of time. And he's not in a position to judge and to assess and to make comments as he has done in the previous program. Ki sha'alno l'dor rishon. It's a very unusual way to spell the word rishon. It's missing the aleph, and usually the word there is no yud for after the resh. It's a chirik katan. Doesn't have the yud. Not a chirik gadol. But here it's spelled in that fashion. Sha'alno l'dor rishon. Why don't you ask back to the previous generations? The choinein, and prepare. Choinein here means to prepare your mind. Open up your mind to be receptive, to understand. L'cheker avoysa. To understand the investigation of the forefathers. The fathers of the people of the previous generation. Meaning, you have to look back at world history to understand the way Hashem conducts His world. You can't judge this world through just a slice of time in your lifetime, in observing a few years. Ki tmol anachnu, pasuk tes. We, Bildad is saying about himself, he's including himself in this thing, which is unique to Bildad. He didn't have this by Eliphaz. Eliphaz didn't say the word anachnu. When Eliphaz gave Musar to Eov, Eliphaz put himself as an outsider or separated himself from Eov. There's you and there's me. You, Eov, are foolish, but I am wise and clever. Here, Bildad is showing some humility, where he says, I'm in this world together with you, or we're in the same boat. The same way you don't understand what's going on, I don't understand what's going on. It's a very powerful word. You don't have this idea back before in the previous parakim by Eliphaz. Ki simol anachnu. Smol means esmol. It's the same word as esmol yesterday. Anachnu, us. You, I, all our friends, we all came into existence yesterday. We're young people. V'loineda. And there's no way to understand how this world works. Kitzel yomenu ale oretz. Our days upon this earth is nothing more than the shade. Just like the shade moves from place to place, the sun moves. Every few moments the shade is different than it was a few moments ago, because things happen very quickly. Likewise, we're here for a very short period of time. Shade doesn't last for a very long period of time, and our time on this world has been very short. So how then can we expect to understand the ways of Hashem? The best thing would be for us to be silent and accept Hashem's gezeiros. Let's look at Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches ki sha'alna ata sha'al davar l'doros ha'koidim. Why don't you ask back in the previous generation to some people who are a little bit older than us and have more life experience and can tell us how the world works. Prepare your mind to the queries and the investigations of our forefathers, of their forefathers, what they have given to the previous generation. There's a long history in this world. If you understand the chain of events, maybe you can make sense of what's happening to you. Pasuk Tes, Ki Simol, Tzi'irim Anachnu. We are young men. We were born yesterday. Anachnu liyamim. We're just a few days old. Ki'ilu azif biyom esmol noiladnu. We were born yesterday. And we do not understand all of the events that have occurred in this world. Lahavi raya min hamuchash, to think that we can assess this world based upon our perception. Muchash means our perception. It's impossible. Kitzel yemenu kimo hatzel asher lo yamdu zman rav b'mokay mecha, just like shade does not last in one location for a prolonged period of time. Ki yinata mimukam, because shade moves from place to place. Ba'avur hilach Hashem is due to the movement of the sun. Kain anachnu mikarov neladnu, we have recently arrived in this world. V'le'ovar adayin zman rav, and we have not dwelt upon this world for a long time in order to make an assessment to appreciate how Hashem conducts His world. These are very powerful expressions. The Farshim, the Midrashim, they explain that when he says ask Lador Rishon, he's referring back to if we're assuming that Eov lived during the time of the Avos, so it would then mean go ask back either to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov if they live later, or ask back to Shem the Aver. Where did Yaakov Avinu learn his Torah from? Where did Avraham, in fact, learn from? He learned from Shem the Aver. And where did Shem receive his Torah from? From Misu Shelach. And where did Misu Shelach receive his information from? From Noach. And where did Noach know his knowledge from? From Adam. So there was a change of Gedole Hadar. Adam, Noach, Shais Enosh. Well, Enosh was okay. Shais Enosh, Mr. Shelach, Noach, Shem, Aver, and the Avos. These are the main names which the Midrashim give to connect a chain back to the beginning of creation to understand matters of ruchnius, spirituality. So if you really want to understand the way the world works, you just can't make an assessment on your own. You have to ask the great ones, our predecessors. They can explain to us things, how things work, and then maybe we can understand why you're suffering in the way that you do.
The word usage of the word mitzar was like when Lot was running away also.
It's small. The sins are small. The Rashi says that. Right. And Rashi there says that I wanted to go to that sin because that was recently developed. It was recent, and therefore its sins have not yet reached the full measure. Mid the sins are small, and Hashem can overlook their sins and not yet destroy that city. So Nechna, you have the same word mitzar there. According to Rashi, means the sins are small. Ma'at. Okay, now let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasik zaches l'dor rishon al dor rishon. He says that the word rishon here means previous generations. Kamo, like it says in Devarim, kisha'alna liyamim rishonim. Ask back. We go study history. V'chaynein, hachin v'hizdamein, la'amoid al-chikri avoysam. Hachin means prepare yourself to absorb, to study. La'amod is, in this context, means to study the observations and the investigations of the previous generations. There's a big discussion among the poskim about is there an inyan of Talmud Torah, you become in the midst of Talmud Torah when you study Jewish history, or for that matter, even world history. What darug? There are different opinions. Rav Fudner is famous for saying that it's a din of Talmud Torah. It's a very big chiddush. Studying Jewish history, to some degree, is a fulfillment of the mitzvah deraisa of Talmud Torah. It's a pasuk. Yishal no liyamim rishonim. You have to binu shinos dar v'dar. You have to understand, by studying Jewish history, it opens up a person's mind to understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's derech. Is that on the same level as learning a Daf Gemara? So it's very controversial. There are different opinions in that matter, to what degree yes, what degree not. But it's interesting here, that's exactly what Bildad Hashuri is telling Yov. You may be a very great holy person, you're a very smart person, you're a very Talmud Chacham, you have Ruach HaKodesh, you're saying things that are there, but there's one thing that you're missing. You're missing knowledge of Jewish history. And without knowledge of Jewish history, it's impossible to fully absorb the message and the teachings of the Torah. And when you understand Jewish history, then maybe you can come to understand why you are suffering, and you would not complain as you do. It's a powerful Musar here in his words.
Okay. So,
Yeah.
The lack of the Aleph. Does anyone just think?
The words of Eov are unique.
If you ask
The poor,
Tishalna Lidar. You have an understanding of what it somehow.
No, he's saying you're only here in this world for a shul. The famous example in the Bali Musa, you come to a shul, person walks into a shul for the first time, and there's a Rav, and there are Mechubadim, there's the people sitting at the Mizrach, and he looks at the Gabbai, and the Gabbai gives an aliyah to some guy in the corner. He gives coin to this guy, Levi to this guy, and he gives the Shlishi, and he gives Hagba. So what? Is this who you give the kibudim to? You should give the koyin, the most chosh, the koyin, hagadol, me'echav, and you should give the Levi to this person, you should give the Yisrael, it should be the Rav. What? So they tell up the guest, were you here yesterday? Were you here the week before? Do you know that we have a system that on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, the Rav gets this aliyah, and during the weekday, we give aliyahs to other people? There's a system. You have entered into the shul one moment, one slice in time. You cannot make an evaluation, an assessment of the situation by observing an event in a slice of time. You need to see the big picture. If you were here davening in this shul for a month, or 2 months, 3 months, then you would understand why so-and-so are getting aliyahs. It's a very simple concept. It's no big deal. Everyone understands. Everyone relates to this idea. When you go into shul, you don't ask questions. You understand there's a bigger picture here. So the same thing that's true, it's so simple to us in that matter, that's also true when it comes to understanding world history, including events. Ask, why do things happen? Why do people suffer? Why? The answer is, well, we don't have the big picture. If we saw the world from the beginning to the end, then things would be different. It's still hard for us to understand because we say it's not fair. In our lifetimes, things there's kind of onish. We have to we get involved in Gilgul Neshamas and in Tzchar V'Oinish Neolim Habo Elim Habo. These are very difficult things for us to relate to, but the point is we still are only limited in seeing things in a very small period of time. We don't have the big picture. If we had the big picture, we would not ask the questions that we do. We would have a different appreciation of life. And that's exactly what Bildad is telling Eov. How dare you complain against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? You don't have the big picture. You don't understand how the world works. And you need to go and consult with your predecessors who have been around a lot longer than you, and they have received the tradition from their predecessors to get the bigger picture to make sense of what's happening in this world. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud. Halo heim yoirucha. They, your predecessors, will teach you. Okay, they will teach you. Yoimrulach. They will tell you things that you were not aware of. Umilibam. And guess what? They are smarter than you. They, from their own hearts, besides relating to you things that came, they are passed down to them from tradition, from previous generations, every single person is a machadish. This is also a new concept. Umilibam yotziu milim, and from their own hearts they will express new concepts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows people, every person, to be machadish something that was not known in the previous generation. How could it possibly be that a person in this generation can say a chiddush, can say a svara, a yisod, and a sugya that was not already said by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik? That was not already said by... How could that be? Well, that's part of the Hashgacha by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives every single generation an opportunity to be mechadish things in learning and in science. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves makom for man to have him to do his part, and it's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. They will tell you things from the past that were passed down, plus they will tell you their original insights. Umilibam pasuk yud in the mitzudos yoyrucha. They will teach you lamdenu oischa. They will teach you the yoyrucha mashe kiblu me avoisam, things they have received in tradition, asher koklu me advarim, which they have investigated, asher nisparsim lohem min hach, and I'm sorry, Mashkibu me avoisam, that's number one. Asher choku, and number two, miliba means asher choku me advar masher nispar sim lohem, things that they have investigated and become known to them, min hachush, from their own, from perception, that's the previous generation, perception, sorry. They will reveal things that have been passed down from the previous generations that have been revealed through the perception of the predecessors. Umilibam, af, Milev atzmam yotziu dvarim asher chakru b'sichlam. Every person also has perception and is able to mechadish a new achidish al pi hadvarim asher kiblu me'avosam, through building upon the foundation of what they received from their forefathers. So don't think you know it all, Eov. Pasik no. Okay, pasik next one. Pasik yud aleph. Okay, now Pasuk Yud-Aleph begins a new theme. He's going to give two mashalim. There's a machlokes Rashi and the Mitzudos how to interpret the rest of this parak. So we'll go slow. Let's do one thing at a time. Hayike goyme beloy vitsa. Yiske ochu vili moyim. A gomer is a certain type of reed which grows very tall. Ochu means either a certain type of reed which is grows very low. It's a min. It's a certain type of we don't know what this is. A certain type of reed. Or ochu means the meadow. It just means a base, an open field which are filled with reeds. Does the gomer and the ochu, do they develop? Do they produce weeds and vegetation without water? Of course not. In fact, these two items, the gomer and the ochu, from all different types of vegetation, require the most water than anything else. Let's see Pasuk Yud-Aleph from the Mitzudos. Hayike vihine ko yomu l'cho. Let me give you a mashal. Bildad is philosophizing. He's giving a mashal. Let me give you a mashal. Chiyigdal eitz goma. Does the eitz goma, name of a certain type of weed, does it elevate itself? Does it rise up? Beloy tit? Now tit vitsa. What? A tevas goma made from, but now it's a certain type of wood.
No, I'm just saying most.
Okay, it was a tevas goma, so it was a certain type of weed. They made out of weeds. Okay.
Wicker here.
Wicker, okay. So it's a wicker. Now, what is vitsa? Vitsa means that sometimes it's used for dough, but sake, with a kuf. But vitsa comes from the word vitsa. Vitsa means a tit. It means mud. Mud means very wet mud, not just mud which has an intense degree of moisture. Beats. Look at the Mitzudos Sion first. Pizza, tit halach, moist mud, kmo hit biu bebutz raglech. Another pasuk we find the butz raglecha, the word there, butz. He's taking the word, the sherish of bebutz raglecha, your feet have, it's a quicksand. Your feet have sunken quicksand. Okay, back to the Mitzudos David. Hayegev hine koyam al chai, vichigdal eitz guma, does the eitz guma rise? Beloy tit halach. What does this mean? And furthermore, v'chiyigdal tzemecha ochu b'li mayim haloi in darkam legadal ella b'mokim hamayim. These things only grow in a place where there is an abundance of water. Lovay bohem hamarbes halachluchis, when there is an abundance of moisture, v'shefa, and an abundance of haritivos of moisture. That's when these things grow. Let's go further. So what is the mashal? Oidenu v'iboy lo yikotef. When it comes to the ochu, and it comes to the gomer, the only time they continue to exist and thrive is when it's still attached to its ibo. Ibo means its source of water, of moisture. Then, lo yikatef, it's secure. But if suddenly there's a drought, and there's no water, v'lefnei chol chotzir, Yivosh, they're the first ones to die. If suddenly there's a drought, or there's an intense heat, the first form of vegetation to wither and die are the gomer and the ochu. V'lefnei kol chatzir yivosh. Let's see, Mitzudos Pasuk Yud-Aleph, Pasuk Yud-Beis, again of Ivo, Kishuhu adayin bilachlucho. Only when it's still attached to its source of moisture, harohi, which is necessary, hine oz, lo yishaver. Then it continues to thrive. It's not broken. Avol, kasher posko, halach luchis. But when the moisture dries up, darkol lehisyabesh teren. First, before kol chotzir. Why? So here is the Musar Hasla that he's presenting Eve with. Ki rav halach luchis shabo hisibo lehisyabesh maher kasher tosur mimenu. The abundance of water is the source of its downfall. And it's precisely because this type of vegetation needs an abundance of water, it's that much more vulnerable. And when that source of moisture dries up, it's the first one to go. other forms of vegetation which do not require that much moisture are able to survive times of drought. Now what is the nimshol? So he continues. Pasuk Yud Gimel is where he now knocks him out. The punchline. Cain, so too, this is the mashal, orchos kol shoychei kel. This is the way of those people who forget Hashem, the sikvas gesundheit, and so is the hope of the choneif, of the flatterers, people who are flatterers, toveid, they are destroyed, they're first to be destroyed. Now what exactly does that mean? And again, let's read one more pasuk. Asher yakot kislo, their strength is cut down when HaKadosh Baruch Hu denies them their blessing, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the source of their wealth, their kislo in this context means their strength is cut down, uveis akovish miftochol, and their home turns into a spider's web. Just like a spider's web is extremely delicate, all you have to do is blow and the spider's web collapses. Their foundation, their existence is nothing more than a spider's web, and the smallest problem causes them to completely lose hope and lose everything that they have. Now let's see how he applies this in the Mitzudot Stavit. Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph, Kein Archos. Kein Derech, Shal Kol Shoychei Hashem, all those who forget Hashem, who are not believers, Im Ki Be'ez Hatzlochosam Hema Mimulim B'tova, people at the time of good, when they're home, they're at the time of their success, they have everything they can possibly want. Aval, bebo yom hapikuda, when the day of reckoning comes, tikvas kol echor avuda, chish kal maher. Those three words mean the same thing. Their hope is lost very quickly. What does that mean? Next pasuk. Pasuk Gidali explains, asher yokot, asher oz, at that moment in time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kadosh Baruch Hu visits harm upon them. All Asher Oz Yuchras Bitchono, they lose their faith. Vaharehi Karigas, they become like Karigas Ho Achbish, like the web of a spider. Sheina Miskayemes. So what he's doing here in the Mitzudas is telling us that the wicked people are compared to the Gomer and the Ochu, whereas the tzaddikim are compared to the cactuses. Okay, a cactus doesn't need much water; just needs a little bit of water. And what? And the rishayim are compared to the gomer and the ochel. The gomer and the ochel are only happy when things go good. When do things go good? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them bracha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides parnasa, then they raise up their heads; they're strong and they're secure. The cactus also, in the desert also, it's. But when the rain stops and all the moisture comes to an end, in other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You know what? I'm not going to give you so much water anymore. I'm going to stop sending down a shef of bracha." So what happens to the gomer? What happens to the ochu? They completely disappear. They completely, because their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only reciprocal, is based upon the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them. But the tzaddikim, who had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because of the rain, not because of the water, but because they had a moon of shud in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they continue to survive and exist forever, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now denied from them his blessing. So he's basically telling Eve, what are you? Do you want to be like the gomer? You want to be like the gomer, the ochu? Or do you want to be like what's implied, it's not actually mentioned over here, which we'll come to, well, that's really, it perhaps is implied in the next section, or do you want to be like the cactuses who survive even when there is no rain? Your behavior indicates that you are a gomer and you're an ochu. You only were faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things were going well. Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has withheld from you the shefa of retivus, of matar and geshem, so what, you wither away, you disappear, you're the first to go, you're out, everyone is still has a faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you are already denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis. your behavior indicates that you're nothing more than a gomer and an achle. There is no real stamina. You don't have any real law and emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is how the Metzudas appears to learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Now, Pasuk Yudalad we did. Now, just to make a point that the word kastol is a very difficult word. Asher Yakut Kislo. Kislo comes from the word the loins, a person's thighs. A person's thighs is what keeps his body up and straight and secure. So it's a borrowed term, which means a person's faith. We had this word in the beginning of the Sefer, where they said to Eov, Asher Yiroska Kislo Secha. It used to be in the good old days that your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu was your stronghold. From all the people in the community, there was no one more faithful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same word was used there as an expression of faith. Here, Asher Yakut Kislo, when the water disappears, then they no longer have faith. Their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been cut down, and they turn into a spider's web, which means there's no stability, there's no security, everything just disappears. Okay, let's look at Pasuk Tezvav. Yisha'ein al beiso v'lo yamod, yachzik bo v'lo yakum. They rely upon their home. In the past, they relied upon their home, but v'lo yamod, no longer is standing. Yachzik bo v'lo yakum. They take hold of it, but it is no longer stands. Let's see Mitzvot Tezvav. Yishan im ki hu nishan al chozek beiso l'schazek bo. Although in the past they relied upon their home, these people were very secure in their wealth. Hine lo yamod biyado, no longer will remain in their home. The im ki yecho is boi bechazaka, and even though they once upon a time they took hold of it with strength, lo yiskayim biyado ki yoyv avivenu be'eis yichle de gemul ma'at maaseh hatov she'asa. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu finishes rewarding them for the small amount of good they've done in this world, that's it, they're done. The reward has been paid to them, so they're finished, they close up shop and they disappear. The im kein marbis hatova sibo hi lo l'ra. So for these people, the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them was the source of their destruction. Because now that the blessing has stopped, they no longer see a need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they close up shop. Sibihi lo l'ra, l'karves ha'avdol, it caused them to put an end, kasher marbis halachluchas, just like the abundance of moisture, shel haguma v'ha'ahu. Sibihi lohem, the fact that these two forms of vegetation need an abundance of water is this cause that when the water comes to an end, they perish very quickly. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu finishes bestowing bracha upon the Rishoyim for their good deeds, once the Rishoyim receive their blessing and they've used up their blessing, they no longer have a need to exist in this world to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they wither and they disappear, they cease to exist. So they dry up meher very quickly. So according to Mitzvot, it's very clearly what Bildad has done in these pasukim, pasuk from Yud Aleph through pasuk Tezayin, because pasuk Tezayin begins a new theme, a new idea. He is describing the gomer and the ochu to the wicked. The wicked are only strong and proud as long as they are receiving blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When that blessing comes to an end, they are the first ones to disappear. In contrast to other forms of vegetation, other types of people who do not rely upon, have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Emunah Pshuta, their faith is not based upon blessing, so when the blessing stops, it doesn't make a difference. Everything is business as usual. They still maintain their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they still have Emunah Pshuta. Now Rashi says come out the same thing, at least for this section. This is what they say. Ein haguma, this is a common expression. I guess he's quoting some type of people, things that people would say. Ein haguma godal ela ba'ot shehabetza lecha. A guma only grows as long as its base. The beitza means the mud. The mud is moist. Bimei meha only as long as the beitza, the mud, is moist in its water and moisture. Beitza, he says some French word, which old French word, which means mud, I guess. Beibo, Marsh, okay. Bilich lucho. Biba means as long as it's attached. Pasuk it base odenu b'ibo lo yikotef. Yikotef means to be cut off. As long as the gome and the ochel is attached to its moisture, lich lucho uvipirio, and its fruit, its source, then lo yikotef lo yishaver. It's not broken. The lo yinos yinotek. It's not cut off. Kamo yikotafta melilos. You will cut down ears of grain. The lufnei kol chatzir yivash. However, when the rain and the moisture stops, it's the first one to disappear. Kodem kol chatzir v'yavesh. It's the first one to disappear before all other forms of vegetation. Kishamayim kolim, when the water ceases, v'habetza chareva, and the mud is no longer moist, and the mud is dry. Pasuk Gimel Rashi, kein orchos kol shechekel lehatzliach be'ez sheshatoy mitzachek eslo. They only have success when they are enjoying favor from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The time is smiling at them. Ad shetesmale soso, until the measure is full. Hashem brings down reward upon these wicked people to repay them for their good deeds. So as long as they have, as long as the blessing is still is on its way, then they are successful. But once the blessing comes to an end, then they're the first ones to disappear. They are destroyed, and their hope, v'tikvas soifa shel chonef yoved, the hope of the chonef is destroyed. Pasuk yudalit, asher yikot, yiktsar v'yichrois, kisilto v'haftachoso, then their hope is cut down, their faith and their hope is cut down. Kislo hi machsheves miftacho, the word kislo means the thought, their hope, their faith in success. Machsheves miftacho, their thought. Im samti zohav kisli, if I made gold my stronghold. The word yikot, loshon kitsir, means to cut down, kimo, kimat cut. It's been, they'll very quickly will they be cut down. I think that was the haftarah of last week's parash. Last week, parash aspara, we from Yecheskel, I think we read those words, kimat cut, they will be cut down. Uveis achbish, she'enei kayim yiyem iftacho, like a spider's web, it completely disappears. Now, before we go, we conclude, one last point, one last thought. The pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, kein orchos kol shechekel, the sick fast hope of a choneif, toved. The hope of a flatterer is destroyed. What is a choneif? Rav Schwab says there are two words, a choneif and a choneif. A choneif is one who flatters others. The word in our pasuk is not choneif, it's choneif, and that means he flatters himself. He thinks he is what he is not. He thinks he is the smartest, the most brilliant, the most successful person. I saw a very good, I saw one of these publications, I think it was Rav Solomon, who runs that organization for Project Inspire. So he said he asked someone for a bracha. Nosson Sherman, Rabbi Nosson Sherman from art school. He's very friendly with him. He asked him for a bracha. And Nosson Sherman said to him, I give you a bracha that you should be everything that you already think you are.
Okay. Very good.
That's exactly what Rav Schwab says. Not in those words. That's a chonef. A chonef means you flatter yourself. I think I'm the greatest, the smartest, a legend in your own mind. That's what a chonef is. You flatter yourself. But the truth is, you're nothing. You're nothing. So this is the musar that the wicked person is compared to the gome and the ochu. And when the water stops, he's out. Ken orchos kol shechechel, those who forget Hashem, the sikvas and the hope of the chonef, the legend, the person has the legend in his own mind, he is destroyed. Okay, now, Pasuk Tezayin begins the parallel. Now, that's the big question. It's a very big difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos. What has Zayin, the next Moshul, is coming to say, and how it relates to the first Moshul of the Gome and the Ochu. And then we have to tie this back, how it relates to Pasuk Zayin, Reishischa Mitzah V'Acharischa Yiskemod. Okay, that will be for tomorrow.